This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Wes, as I pointed out to you last hour, to me, the headline was how many teams looked a little flat in big moments. When you start talking about Florida State, momentum got obliterated at Louisville. NC State feeling good in the rivalry game, big showdown. Didn't happen in Chapel Hill. Pittsburgh all in. Here comes Notre Dame, 45-3, your final. I mean, those three teams got outscored by 101 points Saturday. And I just, I thought the games would be competitive. And quite frankly, they were not. None of those were competitive.
Yeah, and the number one team, as Eric McLean joins us, the number one team in the country, won by 26, and nobody was happy but the head coach, E-Mac. What in the world are we doing here? I mean, seemingly Dabo Swinney had to show up wearing the pink tie and the pink blazer for breast cancer awareness and remind everybody, hey, guys, hey, stop with the negativity. We won the game.
Yeah, he wasn't sure if he was at the right press conference. I thought that was a lot of funny. But, you know, it's questions that, you know, have to be asked, I'm sure. You know, when you see a team that, you know, the line was what it was and people were expecting an absolute blowout and for it to be a 7-point game, 6-point game at one point, I'm sure a lot of people had questions to ask. But the team bounced back. Defense really played out of their minds and really had a great game. Outside of being put in one adverse situation, you know, those guys didn't really give up any points. So they gave up a big bomb play over the top, which I thought it was so funny to hear what Coach Venable said, that he went home and punched himself in the face for calling that one. But outside of that, the Tigers looked fine. You know, 400-plus yards of offense, 47 points, and a 26-point victory. I don't think there's too much to be worried about the Tigers.
Mac, it does go to show you what an elite level they're playing at when people have to start nitpicking on stuff. I mean, I had some guys send me emails during the game, and this is going to put it totally in perspective. Hey, Pack, what's wrong with our field? And I kept writing, like, I had two emails. I'm like, what are you talking about? But man, there's brown splotches on the. I'm like, holy Mac, are we reached the point now with Clemson football that, you know, the spray paint doesn't look bright enough, or the grass isn't green enough? I mean, it really is. It's stupid, quite frankly. I mean, hey, they win the game by 26. Did they play great? No, they didn't play great. Who does play great every week? I mean, I think Alabama's outstanding. I saw them give up 9,000 yards and nearly 60 points or whatever it was to Ole Miss. Hey, the object's to win. You win the game, you move on. It's a grind. And during the pandemic where you're having to work beyond the call of duty just to be eligible to play, you get the win and you move on, and that's exactly what Clemson did. Do they have some things to work on? No question, but so does every team else, every other team in the country. Same deal. So, you know, you strap it on and go play again next week.
There's no doubt about it. Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Pac. When you see just different teams struggling in different ways, if that was Clemson struggling, winning by 26 points, I guarantee everybody's going to be just fine with that who cheers for the Tigers, who plays for the Tigers, and who coaches those guys. So, again, things to work on, absolutely. Guys missing that really impacted things that happened, absolutely. Yeah. But like I said, they're going to be just fine.
All right, Eric, I wanted to ask you kind of the two-way question on some of those guys that didn't play. Skalski and obviously Darion Kendrick did not play in the ballgame on Saturday. But we saw Andrew Booth make yet another play. And I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there. Quietly, I think he's had an outstanding year. We've all seen the interception against Lavelle Davis. But Andrew Booth has been one of those guys that you didn't probably know about unless you were, you know, into Clemson all the way, right? Prior to the season, he was not going to cross any All-ACC preseason list. He wasn't going to be on any kind of, you know, movement-type list in terms of the nation's defensive backs and things like that. But Andrew Booth finds his way to the football in a lot of different ways. I think he's a guy that has emerged for Clemson and Coach Venables in that secondary as the season's progressed.
There's no doubt about it, Wes. Again, you talk about confidence, especially for a young guy. Coming in last year as a five-star, a lot of expectations, people wanting him to play right away, and maybe he just wasn't quite ready. This year, you know, talked about, you know, struggling, just missing his family, and then that one big play against Virginia where he just reaches back, makes an amazing interception in the end zone, can change everything when you're talking about confidence and a guy taking a next step and just solidifying, oh yeah, making him remember, I am that five-star. I am that guy that they recruited over so many other people in the country. And man, he has just delivered game after game since then, has really been a constant piece for the Tigers. And you're absolutely right, Wes. He is moving quickly. If he's not on your ACC watch list yet, he will be by the end of this season because, again, he's making so many plays and is at a position where they feel like he can lock down the side of the field. So that's very important, especially as you go on and play, you know, better and better competition throughout the year. If you can take one side away, that's a big thing to do on a defense.
Mac, the flip side of this real quick, I thought Syracuse did a lot of good things Saturday. And for Dino Babers, as dreadful as this season has been from an injury standpoint, guys opting out, the pandemic, I mean, go through the whole list here. I mean, how easy would it have been to go, holy mackerel, we just gave up 300 and some odd yards to Liberty. We got to make the long flight down to Clemson. It's going to be 80 degrees. They're number one in the country. You know, they're going to beat us by 100. That wasn't the case at all. I thought Syracuse played with a lot of grit Saturday, and that told me that Dino, the guys that are still there, that are still upright, are still dialed in and playing. They didn't look at Liberty and just go, screw it, man, we're not playing anymore. There's no reason to play anymore. Nonsense. They came to play Saturday, and that was a 27-21 game in the third quarter. So for anybody that's thinking that Dino Babers can't coach or can't get these guys motivated, well, he answered that question, I thought, on Saturday. I thought his kids played their tails off.
They absolutely did, Pack. And you saw guys competing. You saw guys having fun. You saw guys going out there and really playing at a high level. I thought the defense for Syracuse did a fantastic job of limiting Clemson's huge plays. I mean, you talk about defensive backs that just were having their hands all over the football, knocking it away from wide receivers. I remember Amari Rodgers had a fantastic catch all the way downfield. It was an absolute bomb. And then Garrett Williams, as they're rolling over, sees the ball and just knocks it out and says, no, sir, you're not catching this one. And, of course, he had that pick six where it goes right through Amari's hands, a little bit behind him, obviously, tough catch. And he's right there to make a play. So when you talk about, you know, just highlights and silver linings, that defensive backfield has really been a strength all year long. You saw it come to play and really be a key piece for the Cuse Orange to keep them in the game, obviously to score points, create opportunity. So I'm with you. I think that Dino, when he has time to get this defense right and get them in, you got to remember they have a new coordinator, new scheme that they didn't get a full spring. They didn't get a full summer or a regular fall camp to install this thing. So that's when, you know, you got to give it some time to get it worked out.
All right, Emac, I want to change gears here a little bit. I was one of those people, probably not happy about it today, but I was one of those people that thought Pitt would be a tough matchup for Notre Dame based on the body of work we had seen, right? The Panthers defense, the Irish run game. I wasn't going to go ahead and drag you into my circle, but since you did also agree with me on this, we both thought this was going to be a problem Saturday, right? What happened, and did Notre Dame just flex, or did they show you something?
I think they showed me something big time, because like you, Wes, what I saw on film from Notre Dame, the lack of the ability to consistently throw the ball, at least this year. I know Book has done it in the past, but this year I hadn't quite seen it yet. And just what we had seen from Pitt, which, you know, was confirmed. You know, they played outstanding, stopping the run, really limited Notre Dame that way, which we knew that was going to happen. But the other key to that equation for Notre Dame to win was, could Book pass the test throwing the ball? And absolutely he did. Went for over 300 yards, had a couple of really, really big plays that his wide receivers made some huge plays there for him as well. And the offensive line, I mean, my goodness, they played like the best unit in the country in pass pro. They did not allow a sack the entire game. The couple of sacks that they did have were on running backs or an extra guy coming. That offensive line played lights out. And, I mean, it was a thing of beauty. I watched that tape three or four times yesterday, just over and over again, seeing how perfect of pass sets, passing off stunts and switches. It was really a thing of beauty that those guys did to perfection. Again, this is against the sack leaders of America. This isn't like, you know, some defense that doesn't get pressure on a quarterback. This is what this team does, what Patrick Jones, what Rashad Weaver, what they do, and they were severely limited in terms of rushing the passer. So that was the biggest thing for me. Defense, elite. You know, I think they haven't been quite tested yet. You look at just who they've played. Louisville wasn't quite the same offense that even this week that they were and couldn't figure things out. Pitt, obviously, you know, just severely without Kenny Pickett. I mean, they can't hardly move the ball at all. There's no run game. And, you know, again, with Kenny Pickett out, their guy who is absolutely Superman, it was tough. But I think Notre Dame really answered some questions and flexed some muscles saying, hey, we're solidified. We're number two, and we're a contender.
They are definitely a contender. I thought they had the most complete performance of any team in the ACC this weekend. For Pitt, a couple things here. Number one, get rid of the uniforms, get back to the classics. Enough of this.
Agreed.
Number two, you mentioned offensively, you know, Kenny Pickett not playing. You know, we could sit there and talk about that all you want. They haven't run the ball all year consistently. You need to get Pickett back, but man, that defense that I love, 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 in these four games that they've lost in a row, they're giving up nearly 35 a game. That's not good enough. I'm sorry. They'd be the first ones to tell you, looking in the mirror, you know, when you're supposed to be one of the elite Ds, you can't be giving up nearly 35 a game in the month of October. Can't do it. And you know what? Schedule doesn't get any easier either. I mean, you really are going to have to man up. This open date comes at a good time for them to take inventory of what's going on. But for November, it's not going to get easier for Pitt.
Yeah, not at all, Pack. And again, you have to take advantage of opportunities that are given to you. I counted four drop picks by the Pitt defense. And I'm talking about right in your hands, easy catches. That's probably why they play defensive back, not wide receiver. Because again, that could have changed the absolute game. You have two picks in the end zone. You have a couple at midfield when Notre Dame is driving that you don't come up with, and easy catches. And I know easy for me to sit here and say that, right? But again, that's what you do. You practice that. You have those extra reps, and you didn't take advantage of it, and it led to 45 points, mostly through the air. So I'm right there with you, Pack. Those guys have to step up. It's the strength of the team. It's a bunch of leadership over there that just have to get it together and make plays. I mean, you're talking about easy as making plays as just tackling a guy. You know, big wide receiver goes up, makes a catch. You're either going for the interception or going for the knockout hit, and you miss. 70 yards later, it's a touchdown. So it's just routine plays that those guys have to lock in and just make.
All right, before we get to the break here, I think a lot of us were also looking at Virginia Tech very favorably. And maybe, even after the win against Virginia, sleeping just a touch on the old Demon Deacons, E-Mac.
100%, man. And it's funny how, you know, I like analytics, but I trust my eyes more and what I see on film and what the film tells me. And so when those two mesh, you know, some things are virtual certainties. So with all that in mind, it was a virtual certainty that Virginia Tech was going to be able to run the ball at will on Wake Forest. If you would have told me that Wake was going to shut down that run and a guy in Khalil Herbert who's averaging like a million yards every time he touches the ball, they're going to hold him to sub five, I wouldn't have believed you. And I thought there would be no way that could happen, but here we are. Played unbelievably well on defense. Guys flying around, making huge plays, just really messing up the rhythm of that offense, and then getting three massive picks. I mean, you've got a guy who's a walk-on, is now starting, true freshman, comes up with a hat trick interceptions to win the game for his team. I really thought that it was going to have to be a shootout for Wake to win, but man, they flexed their muscles on defense and got a huge victory.
You know, last week I explained why I called Wake Forest the Swiss. And if that didn't come into play Saturday, nothing does. I'm sorry. You know, Wake just goes about their business. No, they don't have any enemies. They just do their thing. And when they win, everybody's happy for them. When they lose, everybody's like, oh, come on,
that's
man.
Right.
Come on, Wake, let's go. You can get it together. Dave Clawson, I will say it again, all he does is coach ball, man. That guy is a great football coach.
That's right.
And a perfect fit for the school. And, you know, the fourth time he's knocked off a ranked team, and the Deacs are 2-2. And while we kicked around the idea who's the fifth best team in the league, you cannot discount the Demon Deacs moving forward. They are in position to make some noise, and it started this last 2 weeks by sweeping the Commonwealth.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, just keep going. Just keep winning. This is a team that's getting better. They're figuring it out. But I'm right there with you. They're looking dangerous on offense.
Maybe we have to ask Dave Clawson about his fondue as well, Pac, since they're the Swiss.
Hey, let me tell you something. Clawson's a foodie now. He's got some food game. You don't think Dave Clawson can't whip up a fondue, I think you're crazy. I think he'd do it with his eyes closed.
Yeah.
I think he's got that in his repertoire.
Yeah, well. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to watch Atlantic Coast Conference football on a Saturday, I highly recommend you start your day with the huddle. It comes up at 10 a.m.
That's right.
Every Saturday morning. Jordan Cornett, Mr. McLean, Mr. Manuel, Coach Rick will be there. I also highly recommend EMAC, the huddle late night, the huddle after dark, if you will, the no tie
yes,
required
sir.
Edition of the huddle. Yeah, where it gets a little loose. It's a little looser than your average huddle, if you will. But nonetheless, Saturday morning, 10 a.m., full slate of games. Plus this week, Halloween edition. I'm sensing costumes, aren't you? Yes, I am. Costumes. Oh, absolutely. If they're not costumes on this show Saturday, Packer, have they not missed one of the great chances in all of ACC Network history?
I'm going to stay out of that.
No, why would you? You already let EMAC embrace analytics. When we come back, Eric McLean's accounting. Yep. The hype train continues. Uh-oh. We'll see who his number five is. We know who the top four is in some shape or form. We'll do that right after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Eric McLean with his weekly visit from 8 to 8:30 sharp, which also includes accounting. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you can participate at home. Good luck. There are 15 teams in the league. You put them in there 1 through 15 if you're in the mood to come up with a Sweet 16 position, which, by the way, there are multiple nominees this week. You'll have to stay tuned till tomorrow. But if you want to put a 16th in there, you can do it. No, no, you'll get it tomorrow. I'm not telling you who it is. Not telling you who it is. You'll see it tomorrow.
I know who it better not be. It better not be yesterday.
Oh, big man down there in the ATL. I got news for you. You're always a nominee. Potential. And that James Franklin time management move yesterday was outstanding work. That's got a shot.
Yeah. Wait, Wes, what happened yesterday? Wes, what are you talking about?
We're not discussing any of that stuff, EMAC, just so you know. We are discussing the National Football League yesterday.
Eric, during the course of the week, when we're doing the show, Wes will always do this to me, all right? He always does this to me, all right? And I keep telling him, hey, I know how many games the Falcons have won. So don't – I got it memorized. So don't do that to me.
All right.
Oh,
okay,
poor
Eric.
Wes. We feel bad for you,
first,
man.
Do we want to discuss the hype train first, or do we want to get to accounting? It's up to you. You choose. Your personal hype train on Twitter from the other day.
Let's do the hype train.
You want to address David Bailey hype train first?
Come on. Are you kidding me, Wes?
You're excited,
finally
huh?
are handing this man the ball. We finally figured out, hey, we have a great running back behind a really good offensive line. Let's hand it to him. And, man, they just did it 44 times. And golly, it's a good thing, though, I promise you that they figured out that they can run it before Saturday. Because if you come into Death Valley and you're only good at doing one thing, that one thing's going to get shut down really quickly. So it's good that they have a multitude of things that they can do now and have a little bit better of a fighting chance. Because, again, if you bring one thing in there, it's going to get absolutely shut down. But, man, it was a thing of beauty to see. I'm not sure why it took so long, but I'm glad it's here. I'm glad it happened because David Bailey is a fantastic running back. It just made the offense so much smoother. Things open up. When you have a run game, it all starts there. Everything just really can flourish from that point. Passing lanes start opening up so much easier, so much better. And that's what we saw, you know, from Boston College. So I was over the moon when I was watching that on Saturday, seeing how that game was called. And I just hope that builds confidence in not only, you know, Frank Segnetti, but the guys up front and David Bailey saying, hey, we can do this. We can call these plays and move the football.
All right.
Hey, you're preaching the choir, man. We thought 2-6 is going to be touching the rock a bunch, but what do we know? Jeff Apley's on his way to being the ACC Coach of the Year. We're down in the basement in Cartersville, Georgia, looking for farm animals running amok in the front yard. So what's that thing?
That's right.
By the way, Jeff Hafley on this show Wednesday with Packer and Durham. So we look forward to talking to and
come
Mark.
On.
Maybe we'll bring Emac back to ask him why it took till almost the end of October to get David Bailey involved.
Right.
But that's another story for another
that's
show.
That's right.
All right. Let's get to accounting. First of all, the top four should have been. Oh, we want to do more hype train? I'm sorry. Let's get to one more piece of the hype train. The Emac hype train. Nolan Turner apparently is on the EMAC hype train this week, right? Is he on there,
yes,
too?
Yes, he is, guys. Oh, yeah. Man, let me just tell you about this kid. I mean, just a guy that was buried in the depth chart and over the years has emerged into this absolute ball hawk. I mean, you just look at him without any shoulder pads on, you think he's a manager. He's kind of like the Hunter Renfrow of defense. Like, you do not think this guy is a football player. And he just makes big play after big play every game, it seems like. And just, I mean, there hasn't really been a more consistent player on that defense in the last couple of years than Nolan Turner. His skill set is truly tremendous. He's a ball hawk. He goes after that thing, as Ohio State fans and Syracuse fans found out, obviously, this Saturday. But he's a guy that he just makes so many plays. He has a knack for making big-time plays. And so those two guys, I'm all aboard on both of those hype trains right now.
Please, Mac, don't bring up Ohio State, because every time you bring that up, there's 15 of them ready to call the show to complain about the referees from 10 months ago. I mean, we're into 2020.
That's right.
You know, hey, Justin Fields looked really good Saturday. He's a great player. They have a great team. But enough of bringing up what he did last year to the Buckeyes, because it just salt in the wound, and I'll have to listen to it in the afternoon all day. Man, oh, we got screwed by the refs. No, you didn't. You just got outscored 29-7 in the last 2.5 quarters.
Right.
But heaven forbid,
right,
let the facts get in the way of a good story. But nevertheless, it's time for accounting.
I'm just going to say 4-0. That's the last thing I'm going to say. 4-0.
OH and 4. That's what it is. OH and 4. All right. It's time for accounting. Lead the way.
All right, so no doubt, you guys brought it up. You know, the easiest one through four there. You know, I think that Clemson, not much movement for probably the entire season. Notre Dame, similar thing. They're obviously on a collision course for November 7th and really think that's turning out to be a really exciting game. But at number five, that seems to be where everybody wants to see and who they want to see. I've got Boston College. I love the Eagles and really like what they've been able to do, changing their team. Now that they have this running attack, if it can be a thing, guys, where it's consistent, it's week in and week out, we can run it, we can pass it, everything's going to really take care of itself. You've got a football team that can win a ton of games. They have obviously a huge test this weekend, and I cannot wait to watch it. Wake Forest making some noise. You know, you're 3-2, your offense is clicking. Now out of nowhere, your defense is looking really, really good. So I'm really excited for 5-6. I think they can make some big-time noise in this conference and have just showed that they're getting better each and every week. So those were my two kind of biggest decisions, I guess, where to put those two teams. And I felt like that's what they have deserved so far this season.
All right. Instant critique. I do think 1 through 4.
Never fails.
I think 1 through 4, everybody will have the same 1 through 4, maybe not necessarily in that order. I think 5 through 8, that cluster of teams, of BC, Virginia Tech, Wake, and NC State are the cluster.
I'm good.
I don't think everything else is whatever. No. Just hear me out. I'm just instant critique. I think 1 through 4, everybody will be in the neighborhood. I think 5 through 8, everybody will be in the neighborhood. I don't know how in the world you've got Louisville ranked ahead of Georgia Tech. I don't know how you do that. Sorry.
You take things from too far ago. This is a new Louisville team. If they played again, that's how
it's fluid. It's week to week, Pack.
I understand.
Pack, it's week to week. You got to go week to week, Pack.
I understand, but I don't think right now Louisville's won one game in the conference. They've won one stinking game. All right? I'm going to just tell you, I don't know how you could put Louisville in front of Georgia Tech. Just saying. But I'm going to tell you, 11 through 15 for everybody at home, good luck with that. Because 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 is an absolute – that is a mess. I mean, that is just a mess, 11 through 15.
And you know what, guys? I was afraid of this happening, but it looks like the glob is making its appearance. It looks like it's coming back, and it's 15 through 11, maybe even 10. It's starting to creep into this thing. We're like, oh, just slap your head and make you cringe every time you look at it.
Yeah, I think when folks start doing accounting at home, they're going to be like, well, I hear these guys talking about it's always so hard. And they're going to start, and they're going to go 1 through 4 like, oh, my God, are these guys morons? How easy is this?
Breeze.
And all of a sudden, you'll start slowing down a little bit, 5 through 8, and then you're going to get to double digits and go, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. What is this?
Yeah, that's right.
Good luck. And that's where the fun's going to begin.
That's where you spend the most of your time is that's at the very end. That's where you spend the most of your time.
Exactly right.
Are you going to have to bring the glob artwork backpack?
I know where it is. It's in the wine cellar ACC memento storage room right here beside me. We may have to bring that out.
You're going to have to.
Wait
I
a
think
second,
it's back.
Eric. Last thing from me. Of the teams that have struggled, the Pitts, the Virginia Techs, if you will, of the weekend, although I don't think the Hokies are that as serious as what the Panthers are. The Pitts, the Florida States, the Georgia Techs, how concerned are you right now for those type teams as we get to November? Because as Pack has said, this is about locker room leadership and kind of where your program is, right?
Yeah. So for you know, Florida State, it just is what it is. You know, I was kind of on the fence with whether that was a fluke that you beat UNC, or is this going to be a turning point where we can really rebound and have a really nice-looking season? Obviously, that question was kind of answered when Louisville just does whatever they want. A struggling Louisville team offensively that could not figure it out just takes off for 48 and close to 600 yards of offense. I think that question was answered. Florida State maybe, you know, shines a couple of more times this year, but, you know, I wouldn't, you know, bet too highly on it. The biggest concern with me is Pittsburgh. You know, they can seemingly not do anything offensively without Kenny Pickett. We have to get a run game going. I've been saying that for 2 years now, and it just isn't there. Defensively, we thought it was going to be the strength of the team. Create opportunity. They're averaging 30-plus points, as Pack alluded to. So I have big-time concern for Pitt. It's not getting any easier. And, again, unless Kenny Pickett – you know, comes running through that door, which, again, we don't know how serious that ankle injury is. Not sure how long he'll be out. But I think there should be big, big concern in Pittsburgh.
All right. Appreciate the time on a Monday, as always, my man. Have a great week. By the way, a new Gramlich and McLean podcast is due. Is that later today, I'm guessing, of the
this morning
of the
it's
trio
getting pushed
that comes
right
out
now
here in the week, right? Okay.
That's right.
All right. There we go.
E. So, Woods on our Wednesday Grand show. You don't want to miss it.
When's Packer going to be on? When's Packer going to be on the podcast?
You know, I'm trying to make it a good podcast, not a great podcast yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you. Tell E. Wood I appreciated his effort on Friday's off campus. He apparently had flight issues. I can only imagine American Airlines was hearing from him.
Hey, yeah. Golly. Yeah.
There we go.
You, me, and American Airlines is a great trio.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Eric McLean, thank you, my man. Have a great week. The Gramlich and McLean podcast, by the way, available for download wherever you get your podcast. When we come back, we're going to dive into more, including BC's home victory over Georgia Tech and the Olympic scoreboard from the weekend. Some of the Sunday best stuff from yesterday, outstanding. Volleyball, field hockey, and the like. We'll get to all that. Plus, Phil Dracovic and BC were on the run against Georgia Tech. And we will look more at Louisville's win. And, oh, in the rain the other night. Plus, wide receiver U before Andrea Adelson at 9 o'clock.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
All right, so Eric McLean's got accounting out. It appears that the big conversation is going to be who's in the five spot. He likes Boston College in the five spot. Hashtag Packer and Durham. Make your selections. You'll get ours tomorrow. But I do think there's a separation, Wes. Top four, 5 through 8, and then really 11 through 15 is a good luck. I mean, that is just a mess. Like I said, I think we're going to get stuff all over the place, 11 through 15.
Glob. We're getting glob.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then some will have 16.
Yeah. Creative. The creative
some will
sorts.
Pick a 16.
The creative sorts will come up with a 16. And let me tell you, there are multiple nominations this week. And we're still not done. I mean, I haven't committed yet to 16, but I'll probably do that sometime tonight. But there's a number to pick from at 16, the Sweet 16 spot.
All right, real quick, let's check the Sunday scoreboard here. I don't know if you had a chance to see this. Field hockey yesterday, Duke beat Wake Forest 2-0. We had some volleyball action. I dialed up the Virginia Tech-Duke match from Cameron. Blue Devils end up winning 3-1. Louisville beats Pittsburgh 3-1, by the way. And in field hockey, Duke got a 2-0 win on Wake Forest. That volleyball, by the way, dude, there is no inch given in that sport in this league, Pack. No inch given.
Well, we talked about the fact that
somebody wins 3-1 like Duke and Louisville did. Ooh, it's crazy.
We talked about the fact that there's 7 ranked teams in the top 14 in volleyball. And, you know, Pitt's been so dominant. And they're having a tough year. For Pitt standard, they're really having a tough year. The league's good, man. The league is really, really good. Yeah. It's competitive.
Two more football games to recap. Let's go to Chestnut Hill. Chris Cotter, Mark Hursley, Kelsey Riggs on hand Saturday afternoon for us to see Boston College beat Georgia Tech by 3 scores. Now, Eric McLean mentioned the run game of David Bailey. Phil Dracovic ran for 94 yards, Pack. I mean, Boston College found some seams in the run game and kind of reversed the trend of what Jeff Hafley and Frank Signetti have been doing in the earlier part of the season.
264 yards rushing. And this is really kind of what I thought we would see from Boston College before the season started. Of course, Phil Dracovic changed all of that, and it's been Air Eagles ever since. But, man, they pounded the rock Saturday, and that's another score, Wes, that just wasn't indicative of how dominant a performance it was. I mean, BC, for the first time ever in their school history, beats Georgia Tech at home. But the Eagles are really, really good. So good that Eric McLean thinks they're the 5th-best team in the conference.
Mm-hmm. Yep. David Bailey shines as well in the run game. Boston College's first ever win at home against Georgia Tech. 3rd most points in a conference game since the Eagles joined the league. All those type things. And BC, by the way, at Clemson Saturday at noon over on ESPN. So you'll get a full dose of the Eagles and Tigers this week. More turnovers for Georgia Tech, by the way. That's starting to become an issue. I know that Jeff Collins wants his team to clean up as they welcome Notre Dame to Bobby Dodd Stadium at historic Grant Field on Saturday afternoon at 3:30. So the schedule we've said for the Jackets all along was never going to be easy. At any point, was there going to be a breather? They picked up a win at Florida State, obviously, to start the season. Got the Friday night win against Louisville. But it just continues to get steeper, folks. I mean, Notre Dame, and then you're talking about North Carolina later in the year. I mean, it's just it's a difficult, difficult schedule start to finish for Georgia Tech this year.
But they're better than they were a year ago. I mean, you could give wins and losses and all that stuff you want. If you're going to give an honest assessment of a football team, if you don't see the improvement of Georgia Tech this year versus last year, you're blind. You don't know what you're talking about. And they've got their future star at running back and at quarterback. And Jeff Collins is going to recruit good players. And just, hey, be patient with setting the foundation. That's exactly what's taking place right now in Atlanta.
They are 2-4. Here's the remainder for Georgia. I said North Carolina's NC State on the road and Duke at home. Those are the two North Carolina schools they get. Notre Dame Saturday, then Pittsburgh after a bye week on November 14th and at Miami. In addition to the two Big Four schools or two Tobacco Road schools on the back end, a home game with Duke and at NC State on December the 5th for Georgia Tech. Let's go to South Florida. Saturday night was interesting, Mark, because Miami just jumped right on Virginia with the long pass play from De'Eriq King to Mike Harley, and then that game settled down and got pretty physical. I thought that was a hard-hitting game, and then the rain came in. And Virginia did some good things, Brennan Armstrong back in the lineup, but they continued to mix and match the quarterbacks on Saturday night in South Florida.
You know, I do think you have to eventually find one, but Bronco had all kinds of stuff going on Saturday night. Now I'm watching that game, but you mentioned Harley. I mean, 10 catches, 170. Some incredible plays. And I thought there would be more points in this game. Now, granted, I know the conditions weren't great. But for the most part, that felt like kind of an old-school college football game. It was kind of a field position, and nobody could score. And, you know, somebody was just kind of looking to make a big play late one way or the other. But for Miami, the object is to win the game. The old Herm Edwards routine, right? You know, just win the game. Let's go. And so Miami continues to put themselves in a position as we move into late October and early November. They're one of the four. And for Virginia, four straight losses. October has been a very cruel month. And here come the Tar Heels coming to town. But you kind of wonder what Virginia is going to do at quarterback. Are we going to just see this three-headed monster for the remainder of the year? Or is Armstrong going to take ownership of it? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Cavaliers, they found something in the red zone with Tony Poljan, who had a great catch for one of their touchdowns. The concern I have with Virginia, Mark, and I guess my biggest concern where they are offensively, is the continuity in the running game, right? I mean, they make plays offensively, but are they getting anything in what we would call conventional running? I don't know that. I mean, and, you know, the days of the Smoke Mizells and the Joe Reeds and, you know, things of that nature. It's just not seemingly as efficient in that particular discipline as it's been in the past couple of years. You got guys that can make plays for you. Billy Kemp is sensational. I mean, the guy is like, what, a half dozen catches waiting to happen seemingly every night, but you're not getting a lot of continuity in the run game. And I think that's probably the most surprising piece of this, wouldn't you think?
And I would also say I thought Virginia tackled better Saturday night than they did the week before. I didn't think they tackled very well in the game that you did in Winston-Salem against Wake Forest. It's funny, Wake Forest always seems to make people have a hard time tackling. There might be a method of the madness there with Dave Clawson. But for Broncos team, I thought they were prepared and ready to play Saturday night. And for Manny Diaz, again, I think it's another step. And, hey, learning how to win. Yeah. That whole culture of being able to win games. Maybe that's a game that gets away from them last year in November. Didn't on Saturday night. You win at home. You take care of business at home. They've been outstanding and knocking off unranked teams. I guess 12 straight wins now against unranked teams at home. You get the win, and you move on. If you're Miami, you're still right where you need to be in terms of trying to get to Charlotte and being back in the ACC championship game.
Bye week for the Canes, by the way. They are at NC State on a Friday night. A week from this coming Friday. So this Saturday off, the following Friday at Carter Finley Stadium in Raleigh to meet the Wolfpack. By the way, the Boston College Clemson game is ABC. I said ESPN earlier. It's actually noon on ABC this weekend. So, all right, women's soccer is on the table this week as well. We give you some of that great coverage. It's a doubleheader. We get number 10 Virginia against Boston College at 6 o'clock. And then the number one team in the country, North Carolina, visits Lynn Family Stadium in Derby City to meet Louisville. Thursday night on the pitch with women's soccer right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. When we return on Monday's edition of Packer and Durham, the nominees for wide receiver U, we got a handful of them. We'll get to all that and more when we continue. There's the pole, Jan Catch. Back after this on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. All right, it's time for wide receiver U, Wes, and we probably could have gone 15 or 20 deep this weekend, so we tried to narrow it with between us to about 8 to 10, and then, of course, it will be narrowed by the really smart people to 4, and you will be able to vote on social media regarding wide receiver U, multiple nominees, though, this weekend.
All right. Once again, we also had some defensive plays that that caught your eye. None of those made the list of nominees this week. But as Pac said, we probably could have put 20 on here if we wanted to. But we're going to start with one that's probably a little abnormal. Let's go to Clemson. Tigers got a little got the gadget plays going. Amari Rodgers off the handoff from Lawrence. Got to lead him, Amari. Oh, got to lead him. Got to lead him. If you lead him with it, he might score here, by the way. Syracuse has no idea. If you lead him, he had to come back for it and ends up taking a huge lick from Canton Arco, by the way. A big lick. Don't ever question 16's toughness.
It's not every day that Trevor Lawrence is going to make this list. So we figured we'd just throw it in there. But you're right. Amari, man, he needed about another 10 feet on that. That's a touchdown. Just put some air under it, man. Put some air under it. That's a touch.
That's all you got to do. We'll go to Pittsburgh. Ben Skoranek is somebody you probably need to make a note. If Notre Dame's going to go get vertical on you, this is a likely guy that'll be getting vertical. He'll be on the show tomorrow. Look at this. Bang. That's against a no-joke secondary now, too, Pac.
Yep.
Right?
Too many guys looking around at the refs looking for a call, man. You got to go make a play. Got to go make a play. And this has been a problem. Pitt's defense, I love them. But, man, you're giving up just under 35 a game in this four-game losing streak, and the defense just has not made plays. And that's surprising. That's why Pitt's sitting there at 3-4.
We will stay at Heinz Field. Nominee number 3, this guy's been on the list a bunch this year, by the way, Jordan Addison, the Pittsburgh freshman. That's a heck of a catch now.
It's a great catch. It's actually really good defense and a perfect pass. I mean, this is everything you want here. Mm-hmm. Good pressure on the quarterback. Had to throw it up high. Perfect. I mean, and like you're right, you know, Addison every week, Wes, seems to be on this list. And for a freshman, I got news for you. He's going to be a problem for the ACC for the next couple of years.
Yes, he is. Here's one from Chapel Hill. Let's roll it for Emeka Emezi. This is not his first appearance on the list either. Look at me. What's this? This guy's got it going now.
Every week. Emeka is on this list. And, you know, the thing is, Wes, we end up giving one catch. He normally has two or three a game that we could add to the list.
Yep. So, Emeka Emezi. Go back to Clemson. Tiger fans, it's not your proudest moment. What did Eric McClain say? Venables went home and punched himself in the head. Oof.
Couldn't catch him.
Right
either.
Over the top. No, Joseph Charleston was in high-speed pursuit of Nakeem Johnson, who can really fly.
Yes, he can.
Remember,
I will say this again.
They played without Taj Harris Saturday, too.
I will say this again, Wes. I thought Syracuse came to play. I know in a loss, Syracuse fans didn't want to hear about it, but I think everybody and their brother thought they could get beat whatever to 7 on Saturday. And it looked that way 5-10 minutes into the game, but they really played tough. And I give Dino's guys a lot of credit. In a year in which it had been easy to say, hey, let's go get our Chick-fil-A sandwich and go home. This thing's over. Man, they fought, and they played hard. And that was a 27-21 game in the third quarter. And for the 19,000-20,000 in the Valley, enjoying a kind of felt like a summertime day because it was warm and beautiful and all that stuff. People were a little uncomfortable in that game in the third quarter. I think everybody walking in that stadium thought, hey, man, we just beat Georgia Tech 73-7. Watch this one. No, that was not the case on Saturday. Give Dino Babers and his guys a lot of credit because I just thought they came to play and they said, hey, man, let's let it rip. See where this thing goes. They did their job.
Yeah. Another guy who's been on the nomination list before is back again this week. This is some of his best work, by the way, and he's had several times to appear on the WRU. But this is from pretty good footwork from Tony Poljan. I mean, that's Bubba Bolden now, folks. That's not your average run-of-the-mill defensive back from Miami. That's a guy who could be all-conference, too.
Well, he better be all-conference because Bolden's having an awesome year. I tell you now, this is going to be hard to beat this catch. I mean, that was great defense, perfect throw by Armstrong. Got to throw it high. And, I mean, not only catching it's one thing, getting it down when 1 foot in was ridiculous. That could be your winner.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
Two more from this game alone on the nomination list. Miami side of the ball, Mark Pope.
Ooh, this is a great catch, too. Now, this was ruled incomplete at first, and then, of course, we have our infamous replay, and the replay got it right because this was a great catch.
Mm. We got another angle. Oh, here's the angle. This is the one. Watch the left foot. Yep.
Both in.
All you need's one on Saturdays.
That's a great catch.
That might be a winner.
Could be.
How about Keaton Thompson? His wasn't bad either.
Not as good as the other
ones.
This
is pretty fancy footwork too, Pat.
There's nobody between him and the ball. I just thought, to me, nice catch, first down, move the chains, but not as good as the two previous, in my opinion.
Would have been good on Sunday. Got two down. All right, don't forget, use the hashtag WRU to submit your nominees every Saturday or Friday night, depending on the day of the game. And we'll review, and our crack staff will put together the nomination list. Let's see, what do we have today? 8 of these? That's normally about the working order.
And
a little less, sometimes a little more.
You know, Michael Harley had 10 catches for 170, and we probably could have put two or three of his on there. I mean, there were – he had such a spectacular weekend, and you're going to see his name pop up later on in another segment. But for anybody out there screaming about, how in the world could you guys have all these highlights of Virginia and Miami and not have any Harley catches? He had a couple. In fact, I think he had one that I thought was out of bounds. They missed it, but that's all right. Doesn't matter. But 10 for $170. So I want to give Harley a lot of credit today because he was great on Saturday. Yeah, I know the Falcons won one game. I got it. But Harley, 10 catches, $170.
We could have put the Don Chapman interception in the State Carolina game on this list, too.
That could have made – like I said, we could have gone about 15 deep this week, and we just don't have time for 15. So for folks out there that you might have submitted one and didn't make the cut, don't worry. Just keep doing your thing, man. We appreciate it very much.
All right. On the other side, we go to the Power Hour on a Monday of Packer and Durham, and we check in with Andrea Adelson, who examines some of the issues we've been talking about. Like, who's the fifth best team in the ACC? We'll pose that for Andrew. Big win for Notre Dame. Miami stays alive. Travis Etienne and Frosted Flakes. All that and more coming up with Andrea Adelson on Packer and Durham's Monday edition.
Packer and Durham.